Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I'm glad you're here. Happy Monday, December 21st, or maybe Tuesday, December 22nd, since some of you guys might not listen to this until then. Christmas week, right? Because of that upcoming holiday schedule, got a little bit of a shorter show for you guys today. A few interviews lined up, the first with Jake Agnich, the new head coach at Southeast Polk. Jake took over after longtime head coach Jason Christensen announced his retirement in September, so we caught up with him about a couple of things. And then the second is with Ankeny senior Caleb Rocci, a future Iowa Hawkeye and a champion at Indianola's varsity tournament this past weekend. I think you guys are really going to enjoy those conversations. But before we get there, wanted to take a moment here at the top to kind of review the first half of the 2021 high school wrestling season, because let's face it, it's been a little bit of a weird one. Most of the teams around the state began on time and have gone through all 5 weeks of practice and all 3 weeks of competition without much fuss, really. Some of them, of course, did not. Most of those were in 3A. A bunch of the large schools, they didn't start on time because their districts opted for fully virtual learning because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. So some of these teams, like Waukee, like Southeast Polk, like Ankeny, there's a handful more, they only got a few competitions in. Maybe some of them only got a few weeks of practice in. Then there are other teams, like West Des Moines Valley, like Johnston, like Urbandale, like both Iowa City and Iowa City West. They haven't wrestled at all because they've been fully virtual, and I really hate that for the kids, but welcome to 2020, you know? On top of all of that, the schedules have all been kind of slightly adjusted because of, you know, COVID-19. We haven't had the normal big tournaments that usually kick off the front half of the season. I'm talking like the Cliff Keen Independence Invitational, didn't have the Council Bluffs Wrestling Classic, didn't have the Battle of Waterloo, we didn't get the Dan Gable Donnybrooks inaugural tournament this year at the new Extreme Arena. Johnston's tournament's always fun every year. We didn't get to see that. Moving forward, not sure about Urbandale's Ed Winger. Usually we get the CIML tournament as well. I'm not sure if we're going to see that. Actually, I know for a fact we're not going to see that one. Others may not happen as well, and those that do happen are probably going to be a little bit watered down. Think of like the Keith Young, the Arena Sports Academy Invitational, which was kind of, you know, a Council Bluffs Classic light. That really sucks because a lot of these competitions are so much fun. But we did get to see some tournaments, and I really wanted to take a moment here to kind of highlight Indianola and give them a lot of credit, because they've actually hosted a tournament each of the last 3 weekends with different teams every time. I know that, you know, Fort Dodge made the trip down on the first weekend. Waverly Shell Rock went down there on another weekend. This past weekend, I was there again, and they had Don Bosco, Ankeny, and then they had a couple of out-of-state teams, Missouri's Liberty and Nebraska's Millard South, all in the building. There's been some tremendous wrestling down in Indianola the last few weeks, and I kudos to those guys for, you know, not only having the space and using it to set it up to give these kids opportunities to compete, but then inviting teams really from all around the state and even a couple out-of-state teams to come and get in on the action. It's been really cool to kind of watch that unfold the last few weeks. Elsewhere around the state, we really have seen some great wrestling this year despite everything going on. I know in Class 2A, West Delaware has kind of lived up to its number one ranking. They've won 3 tournaments. I believe they've also won 7 duels, and they've won all of them by pretty wide margins. Behind them, there's a cluster of teams that could potentially take advantage if the Hawks slip up like they did last February. The teams that I've really kind of seen at Class 2A, Central Lion, Creston, Crestwood, Davenport Assumption, Independence, Osage, Sergeant Bluff Luton, Soul, and Williamsburg. There's probably a handful more. Some of those names sound familiar. Some of them are kind of coming and going. Some of them might sound a little new. It just kind of depends on your perspective and where you're at in the state and what kind of wrestling or how closely you follow some of these wrestling teams. West Delaware definitely kind of at the top of the pack when it comes to Class 2A, but, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to be fighting for trophy contention, and as we saw last year, if something happens where West Delaware doesn't bring their A game, that could open up the opportunity for a lot of these other teams to maybe jump up there and make some noise come February. Class 1A, Don Bosco also looks like the team to beat. They have a wicked combination of talent and depth that is going to, make them the heavy favorite to win what would be their third straight traditional state team title in February if they're able to get the job done. You can never count out Lisbon, right? There's one of those teams that kind of started late because of the fully virtual learning. I think they had to get all of their wrestlers through practice, had to get their weight down through all the certification stuff, and then they immediately jumped into competition all in the same week. So shout out to Brad Smith and the Lisbon staff for getting those guys ready to go, because they've looked pretty tough these first few weeks. They look like they've got enough firepower to maybe hang with Don Bosco if enough things break their way. It's kind of, because of the last back of these bigger tournaments, we really don't know exactly what all of these guys have. You know, we can make pretty good guesses, right? Because Don Bosco, they brought back a lot of guys from last year's state championship team. Lisbon lost quite a bit of firepower. Cale Happel is gone. Marshall Hawk is gone. But Brandon Paez is back. And Robert Avila Jr. is back. And, you know, Cade Seabrook looks really tough. He had a really nice win. You know, Quincy Happel looks like he's put up some really, really good results here these first few weeks. You know, that's kind of one of the downsides of not having some of these bigger tournaments, is we can't see how some of these teams do against some other stout competition. So it's kind of hard to get a full read on this. You know, but I mean, right out of the gate, I think you obviously, when it comes to 1A at least, you always start with Don Bosco in Lisbon, right? But then you file kind of everybody else behind them in Class 1A. There's a lot of teams similar to 2A where, you know, I think they could make that jump. You know, there's Lake Mills, Logan Magnolia, Missouri Valley, New London, Underwood, West Sioux, and Woodbury Central, all teams that have really stuck out kind of behind those two heavy hitters. Class 3 is kind of where it gets a little tricky, right? Because like we said before, there's a lot of teams that we believe are at or near the top, you know, are teams that we should probably consider contenders or favorites, or, you know, maybe teams that we need to keep an eye on moving forward, you know, that are going to play a role in how February gets decided. And some of them, they just haven't gotten a lot of mat time yet, right? You know, we mentioned Southeast Polk. You know, they're currently the number one ranked team by IA Russell. They've only wrestled four times. Waukee is a team, they're currently ranked number 6. I think they're probably going to be a little bit better than that once they finally are able to get some matches under their belt, but they've only wrestled 5 times. Iowa City West, another team that I think is absolutely in trophy contention this year in Class 3A, they haven't wrestled at all. Bettendorf, they're you know, right there kind of with Iowa City West, Waukee, probably that tier. Throw Fort Dodge in there as well. You know, Bettendorf's only wrestled 4 times this year. Others have been a lot more fortunate, right? Waverly Shell Rock, we mentioned them before. They're number 2 by IA Russell, number 1 in the IWCOA dual team rankings to start. They've been able to wrestle all 3 weekends. Third ranked Fort Dodge, they have 2. You know, they were at Indianola, then they went to Sioux City, and then they hosted their own tournament this weekend. Hopefully we're going to learn a lot more about the large class in January. Right out of the gate, we're hopefully going to get to see some great, great duels, right? On January 2nd, literally the day after New Year's, Southeast Polk's going to wrestle Don Bosco, right? That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And then on the same day, Iowa City West is scheduled to wrestle Iowa City High. I'm hoping that one happens. West obviously has a lot of firepower this year. City High, you know, they've got Ben Keeter, but they've got a lot of other intriguing pieces as well. It'd be nice to kind of see how they stack up against West. On January 4th, that's the first Monday of the new year, Waukee's going to host Southeast Polk, and Fort Dodge is going to wrestle Valley and Johnston in what looks like a tri-duel. On January 7th, Waukee's going to wrestle Johnston. On January 9th, it looks like, tentatively, the Jack Mendenhall tournament in Ames is still on the schedule, at least as of last check. But then Benton, their invitational, looks like it's going to have a lot of fun teams with, you know, Independence, Assumption, Centerville, maybe Don Bosco will be there, maybe West Delaware will be there, maybe Union will be there. You know, I don't know that I can fully trust some of these websites that say all these teams are going to be there, because I know things are really, really fluid. But you know, if that tournament comes through and all those teams show up, that'd be a heck of a tournament to watch. That same Saturday, January 9th, again, Waverly, Shell Rock, Ankeny, Southeast Polk, and Dubuque Hempstead all have a quad duel in Dubuque that day. That one's going to be a lot of fun. That's just the first week, guys. Here are some other duels and tournaments that are still tentatively scheduled throughout January. Bettendorf and Assumption are going to duel each other on January 14th. Osage and Crestwood are going to wrestle each other on January 19th. The Lisbon-Don Bosco duel, that sold out Lisbon's gym last year, they're going to wrestle on January 28th. Independence-West Delaware, that's maybe one of the few teams that might be able to push West Delaware in a duel setting. They're also going to wrestle on January 28th. Bettendorf's Midwest Shootout is still tentatively on the schedule. The IWCOA Girls State Championships are set for late January at the new Extreme Arena. West Des Moines Valley is tentatively going to host a super fun tournament the same weekend as most of the big conference tournaments. That's super late January. And then once we get there, we're going to be right there sniffing February, and that's always, always so much fun because it's just strictly the postseason. So despite everything, you know, the fully virtual learning, the continual threat of COVID-19, the paused or delayed seasons, there's still so much to look forward to once we flip to 2021. And I thought about this a little while ago too, guys. 2020 has largely been a pretty forgettable year. But before the pandemic, think back with me, last January, last February, even that first weekend of March, I just remember how much fun that was, right? The high school competitions were tremendous. The state championships at Wells Fargo Arena were spectacular. All the college duels and the conference tournaments that we saw between January, February, and early March, those were just a blast. I know that this year has been different, and this entire season is probably going to stay different, but all things considered, from where we were just a few months ago to where we are now, there's no reason to believe the second half of the high school wrestling season won't be just as fun as it normally is. Like we said, it's going to probably be different, but the kids are going to get a chance to wrestle. And that's enough to hopefully light a spark that'll carry us through the rest of the way. That's really kind of all I wanted to say about the first half of the high school wrestling season. I could have gone maybe into a little bit of the nitty-gritty with details on performances, certain wrestlers that have stuck out and all that. We probably could have been here for a few hours, and if I had done that, you know, maybe one day next month if you guys remind me. So maybe put that in your back pocket, and we'll circle back to it as we move along throughout the season. We're going to get to our interviews now. First up, Jake Agnich, the new head coach at Southeast Polk. Jake was an assistant for 3 years under Hall of Fame coach Jason Christensen before stepping into his new role this September. He's originally from Ames. He was a state finalist back in 2011. Then he went to Wartburg, where he became an All-American in 2015. Now he's tasked with continuing the great wrestling tradition that Christensen fueled after nearly two decades as Southeast Polk's head coach. I caught up with Jake about a week ago to discuss the early parts of the season, scheduling, and then really what he learned from Coach C. And then we finished by touching on a little bit on this year's team, which is quite good. Very, very good Southeast Polk team this year. You know, at least through the first few duels that I've seen, and just kind of based on some previous knowledge that we saw from a year ago. Really fun conversation with Jake, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So let's go to it now with Southeast Polk head coach Jake Agnich. Of all the unique seasons, this seems like a very interesting way to introduce you as like the first head coach, or at least like your first stint as a head coach. What have the first few weeks been like? I know you guys couldn't practice, and then you were able to get back to practice Saturday, and you know, it just seems like everything's going to be on the fly a little bit this year.
Yeah, so we had like a week and a half of actual practice before Thanksgiving, and we got shut down that Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So those 2 weeks, like normal. Our two-a-days, you know, very pretty much similar to what we've done in the past. And then obviously the 2 weeks we were virtual, we had to do some different things as far as like sending workouts. And that was obviously different, but I know our guys got a lot of work in. So I think while we didn't get some good competition in like we normally would, I think our guys will be a little more rested and fresh and ready to roll for this upcoming week. And then going into Christmas break, we have some big duels after Christmas break. So hopefully they're fresh, not banged up, and but you know, yeah, it's been really different, but it's also been good. It's been a learning experience and something I hope I don't ever have to do again. But if I can handle this, I should be able to get through just about anything.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, you normally, you know, you'll travel out of state a little bit, you'll go to some bigger tournaments here and there. What's the schedule gonna look like now that maybe some of those are off the table?
As soon as we found out about Cheesehead, and then the clash was very similar. Me and Whitcomb started, you know, texting back and forth about trying to set up a duel since we need some good competition. So we got that set up, and then we dueled Don Bosco, who's been 1A champs the last couple of years. We dueled them on the 2nd. So those are two big changes, and without Gardner and Cheesehead, we had to make some changes to get some tougher competition as, you know, that really hurts our kind of progression throughout the year with missing Cheesehead. That's a big tournament for us, so we lined up a couple good duels, and that's going to be a fun week still.
Yeah, well, what, Cheesehead, Clash, you guys go to Gardner every year too?
Yeah, we don't go to Clash, but it's the same weekend as Cheesehead, so that's why we kind of were able to link up and get one. But yeah, Gardner at the beginning of the year with a couple nationally ranked teams, and then Cheesehead. So you know, you try to kind of not peak, but feel good for Gardner, feel good for Cheesehead, feel good for the state tournament. So this year it's feel good for that Waverly duel, hopefully, and then feel good for the state tournament.
Yeah, how nice has it been to, I don't know if it's nice, but like, you know, it seems like there's a collaborative effort of all the coaches around the state to be like, hey, what can we do to make this season work, right? I mean, there's, you know, the duel with Waverly, and I think there's a couple other teams that are in on that weekend too, and you know, just the fact that Don Bosco's stepping up and wanting to wrestle you guys, and you know, I
they usually wrestle a pretty tough schedule, but I can't remember the last time they dueled a 3A team outside of maybe the Battle of Waterloo.
Right.
It seems kind of cool that there is, you know, the coaches are kind of, obviously you guys want to compete against each other, but there seems to be a little bit of teamwork there as well.
Yeah, you know, like me, Whitcomb, and Haas over at Dubuque Hempstead, we're buddies through Team Iowa.
Yeah.
In the summer, so you know we keep a good relationship for that. And then I have Austin Anderson over at Ankeny. Me and him go way back, so it was pretty easy to just kind of shoot out a group text and, hey, you guys want to do this? And then, you know, obviously you gotta work through some things, administration and different things like that. But it was pretty easy to get going. And you know, this year with who knows what's gonna happen, it's good to just have some for sure good competition that you know you'll get, because tournaments are going to be hit and miss this year as far as them having to cancel because of COVID stuff, and you know, duels are a little more reasonable.
Yeah, 100%. This first year, I mean, we keep saying first year, but like you've been, you know, co-head coach with Christensen before he officially decided to step down last spring. Well, I guess maybe start here. What did you kind of learn from, you know, working under and then really alongside Christians in the last few years? Because he's a legend, right? Like, those are some big footsteps that you got to fill.
Yeah, you know, I think the most important thing was we're able to keep our staff together and then just make a few additions. You know, the staff is obviously, they've all been together for a lot longer than I've been involved. So things were maybe a little bit easier than you would think as far as the transition goes.
Yeah.
Because we still got Morrow, Jessman, Coach Evans, Coach Cook over at the junior high. I mean, those guys have been around for a long time, so they kind of know how the system works. And so I was able to just kind of step in and take Coach C's roles, and then everything else has kind of been the same. And obviously that happened last year. So it hasn't been too crazy this year outside of COVID stuff. But you know, Coach C is the best at everything. He's super smart. He thinks about everything. And I think that was probably the most important thing, where when I first got here, it was like my instant reaction was whatever, like, that's how I thought.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, hey, take a step back. Let's think about this and then make a plan moving forward. So just learning and thinking about stuff more and more. It's been really fun to learn from him, and then obviously learn from all of our other coaches as well.
Yeah. When did you officially come here as an assistant? Like, when was your first year?
This is my fourth year. So what would that be? 2017, 2018, I believe, was my first year here. So okay. Kate DeVos was a junior. Runyon was a junior as well. And Christian was a sophomore.
Okay. So then was it like 2 years an assistant and then 2 years as a co-head coach, or was it just 1 year as the co-head coach? Or
yep, 2 years as an assistant, a varsity assistant, and then last year was co-head coach. This year, fourth year, would be head coach.
I gotcha. Keeping the staff intact that you had mentioned, those are a lot of older dudes. Do they ever give you trouble for kind of being this young guy stepping in the role that you're in?
At first they did, because when I first came in, I for whatever reason, Coach C really liked me, I think, so I had probably had a little more say than they maybe thought. But over time, we've developed really good relationships. I mean, we're all close friends. We get together, hang out outside of wrestling season, and you know, it's not just wrestling. So at first it was a little weird, but
yeah,
it's gotten to the point where no big deal.
100%. Yeah. Coming in this year, I guess first time having all of the reins, I know that you had mentioned, you know, Coach C telling you to maybe take a step back and look more big picture than just kind of whatever's in front of you. But is there, what other lessons did you kind of take from him getting to work with a guy like that? And really his staff too. I mean, since, you know, they've all been together for years, right?
Right. I just think more than anything, it's about not being afraid to put the work in. You know, it's not just about these 3 months of the season. We're constantly working year-round to help our kids out, whether that's providing them practices when we can't have any contact with them, or doing different fundraising things so we can help provide for them in the summer when they need to go to wrestling tournaments. And then it's just not being afraid to come in every morning. I mean, me and Jessman are here pretty much every morning at 5:30. And we leave at 6:37. And, you know, when it's about the kids and it's about helping them reach their goals, to me, that's a really easy choice, you know, between waking up at 5:30 or going back to bed. So,
yeah.
You know, Coach C was relentless. He never took a day off. He was always about the kids, and those are things I'm hoping to continue to do down the line.
100%. Is there something intimidating about, you know, taking over after a guy like that because of everything he was able to do over his career?
I mean, obviously, yeah, there's a little bit of pressure there, but,
yeah.
You know, I think I've taken all the good things I can from him, and then he's obviously going to continue to be a good mentor. We talk every day still, and so there's pressure there, but I think pressure is a good thing, and I'm just excited to see what I can help give to this program.
100%. Rich tradition, obviously. I mean, we've seen the wall, and we know what Coach C did here. Another talented group that you guys are going to have this year. Has everybody certified? I know that was kind of one of my big questions when, you know, teams are having to go online and not practice and whatnot. I mean, is everybody on track, I guess?
Everyone has not certified yet, but they will get certified this week. So
yeah.
We should have everyone down to wait for Saturday for sure. There's a few that maybe not on Thursday, but the plan is right now for them to make it Thursday and get certified that morning and then be able to compete Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Saturday.
Definitely. What do you like the most about, you know, this year's collection of guys? I mean, because you're stepping into a really good situation, you know, trying to put your own spin on things, but there's a lot of talent in that room.
Yeah, you know, I think this year more than ever, they've kind of bonded really well over obviously having to deal with some adversity. And I think they're all, more than anything, they're all friends. From what I can tell, they're excited to be at practice. They like to work with one another and help each other out. And then obviously we have a lot of talent, and the thing that separates those guys is that they also want to work hard. It's not just, hey, I'm getting by with just a little bit of ability. They put the work in too, and then that obviously raises the level of the entire room.
Yeah, definitely. Have you guys talked about, you know, I mean, the goals and the expectations for this program are probably higher than a lot of others, but just, you know, coming off of last year where, you know, what was it, 10 medalists, but only one got into the finals. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, that was Gabe and he graduated. I mean, just, you know, the amount of depth, I think, is also something that stands out about this team. Have you kind of talked to them about, you know, all of those guys being able to take that next step and really help the team get back to where you guys think they should be?
Yeah, you know, we let them make the team goals for the year and then we kind of go around that. You know, and their team goals are very high. I mean, goals are to win an individual state team title and a dual state title. So, you know, those goals align with my goals. And, you know, we've talked about it one time, just about making that next level or making that next jump, because we did have a lot of guys who either lost in the semis or lost in the quarters, and they did an awesome job battling back. But in order to win state titles, you have to put guys in the finals. So, you know, we talked a little bit about it, but they have those goals themselves. So, you know, we don't have to talk about it a ton. It's just kind of getting them mentally and physically prepared to wrestle their best when the time comes. I mean, their goal is obviously all to make the finals, and I think we have the team to put, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 in the finals. So as long as we help them feel good and they're ready to roll, I think we'll be okay.
5, 6, 7 usually gets the job done most years.
Usually. So that's the game plan, and that's what I think this team can do. So hopefully it all pans out.
Yeah, I think the last question I had for you is, what kind of personal spin do you think you can bring, you know, your first year in, you know, to really kind of put your mark on this team and this program?
You know, I try to strive to be excited, a little more, not youthful, but, you know, obviously
we
have some of the, yeah, I'm 27, so, you know, most of our staff is a little older, and not that that's a bad thing, they have a ton of experience, and they still get on the mat scrap, but, you know, me, try to be excited, upbeat all the time, make things fun, and then I brought in a couple other younger guys to really scrap with the team, and hopefully that will help continue this run here.
100%. Y'all got the same amount of hair, though.
Oh, not much. Stressful. Coaching wrestling is a little stressful.
Good stuff there from Coach A. Can we call him that? Like, I mean, he referred to Christensen as Coach C, so we should just start calling him Coach A now. Like I said, that interview probably a week old. Right after that interview, or at least the same week of the when we originally talked, the Rams actually opened their season with four dual victories, 49-24 over Dowling Catholic last Thursday, and then they hosted their own Red Owens Classic, was just turned into kind of a dual format on Saturday, where they beat Atlantic Cam, they beat Lewis Central, and then most impressively, I thought at least, they beat Bettendorf 41-24. So kudos to the Rams and Coach A. Strong start to the season. Going to look forward to really kind of keeping my eye on them as the season goes along, especially during that first week of January when they have to, Don Bosco, Waukee, and then, Waverly, Shell Rock, Hempstead, and Ankeny all within a week of each other. So that's going to be quite the gauntlet, and I'm really excited to kind of watch them compete. Finally, on today's show, I caught up with Ankeny senior Caleb Rachi this past weekend. The Hawks, they also returned to competition. They had duels against Cedar Falls and Fort Dodge during the week, and then they were at Indianola on Saturday. Rachi has won all six of his matches so far, five of them by pin, and then he recorded a 19-10 major decision over Don Bosco's Cale Frost in his final match on Saturday. That's where I caught up with Caleb right after that final match. We talked about his senior year, kind of what he hopes to accomplish. He's already won a couple of state titles. He's officially signed with the Hawkeyes, and he's considered, top 20 overall national prospect in the 2021 class. He's also fresh off winning a football state title, too, with Ankeny. So we mentioned that a little bit, and then we talked about a number of other things. Also, some specifically to, some of the matches that he had on Saturday. Love catching up with Caleb, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this conversation as well. So let's just go ahead and get to it. Ankeny senior, Caleb Rachi. Caleb Rachi from Ankeny.
Yep.
Let's start here. That lefty collar tie is mean, man.
That's where a lot of my offense comes from. Lefty collar. It's not necessarily like for all my offense, but I can set up a lot from that lefty collar. Low risk, it's my back leg hand, so I'm not giving up my lead leg or anything. So I like to come out, ride that left side collar.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I've noticed just over the years, and especially today, and especially in that finals match, just that constantly wears on the guy. I mean, can you feel that as the match goes along?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're keeping your hands moving, you're keeping them heavy, you're moving your feet, you're keeping pressure on someone, it's going to wear them out. It doesn't matter if you're winning or losing, it's wearing on them. Today it wore on me a lot, too. I'm still trying to get back in shape, get down to my right weight, but just that wears on people. Wore on me a little bit today, too.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you mentioned it, getting back into wrestling shape after football season. You guys jumped back into competition this week. How do you feel like it went overall, just the week, and then especially today you were able to get a few matches in?
Yeah, went pretty well, back into the swing of things. It's nice. I wrestled a little bit through football, but I haven't wrestled hard in, 2 or 3 months. So it's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah. How hard... And I know, obviously, you were part of the Ankeny's football run, just in the secondary. But when it comes to getting back into wrestling shape after such a long layoff and even longer, I mean, how hard has it been to just kind of, get your lungs back?
Oh, it's been hard. And I think Cody Chittum came up the week after football state. Maybe I had like a week gap. And Cody Chittum came up to Iowa for like a week. I worked out with him for 5 or 6 days that week. And if there's a dude that can get you into shape really quick, it's Cody Chittum, man. He, he worked me over for that week, but it was good. It was good for me. That was really nice. And it got me, jump-started get my lungs back a little bit. So
I was going to say, what's it like going from, from football where the lungs are a little bit different to then wrestling with a guy like him he won who's number one. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best recruits in the country. Like talk about a lefty collar. That dude.
Oh, yeah. His collar's nasty. It's out. Boom. But it's crazy how much of a, you think on football, I can't be in that bad of shape. You get thrown in a room with Cody Chittum, and you're like, oh God, that's nowhere near where I need to be. So yeah, it's a big difference, but football is really fun.
100%. What do you feel like you learned from a day like today? You were able to get some matches in, maybe not the toughest of competition, but I mean that, Cale Frost from Don Bosco in the finals.
Yeah.
He's pretty tough. What do you feel like you got out of today?
yeah, just mat time. You know, that last match, I blew my lungs out really hard in that match, you know. I mean, I couldn't, it's hard for me to tell, but I felt tired. So I'm guessing, you know, people around probably saw that, hey, he's probably not in the greatest shape, but I got, you know, there's no way to get your shape back instantly. So just, you know, mat time, mat shape. That's kind of what I got out of today, and just having fun. It's always fun to be on the mat, especially in times like now. So yeah, that's what I felt like.
100%. I think it was the Anderson brothers were making fun of your love handles because you're up at 160. And
I know. Yeah, you know, it's different. You know, I'm usually skinny, and now I got a little tummy on me, some love handles. It's different, you know. People, it's just been funny. They're funny to joke around with, you know. But we came into pictures, I don't know, during football, maybe right after football, and I put on a singlet, and I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, dang, 160. But yeah, no, they're fun to be around. They're jokesters, so it's all right.
100%. First week of competition in the books for you.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to really catch up with a lot of you guys either early in the season or before the season, and you were busy with football, but...
Yeah.
You know, senior season, mm-hmm. you've been here, you've done that.
Yep.
You've got college figured out. What are you kind of hoping to really get out of this year?
Yeah. You know, I thought about that a lot too. Just getting better. I mean, in whatever way that means, you know. I just got to stay focused on, you know, my goals necessarily. Obviously, to win a state title, but bigger than that after the season, you know, junior worlds, junior nationals, like, I guess necessarily winning a state title isn't, that's just like a more of a stepping stone than almost a goal. Like that's an expectation now.
Yeah.
And you know, bigger goals are, you know, ultimate goals, junior world title, Olympics, you know, far, you know, in the future, but you know, just stepping stone, working up, getting better every day pretty much. So
for sure. Is there specific techniques or specific positions that you're gonna, you know, try and emphasize as maybe you work back into wrestling shape and as you go about the season?
Definitely, and that's kind of something, you know, I'll probably work more on at Seabolt more than up in the room. You know, I feel like my high school practices are a good place for me to, you know, I go to Seabolt Sunday, get good work in there, figure out, oh, this position, that position, and I got a whole week to, you know, maybe sharpen that or work on that and, you know, drill and stuff. But definitely, I know TJ will have some things for me to work on, and I know some things I got to work on too. So,
100%. Senior year, does it feel like it's gone fast? I mean, I remember, you know, 113 pound Caleb Rocci in the state finals, and you know, here you are, 50 pounds, and 3 years later.
Yeah, no, it's flew by. Yeah, like you said, I remember, you know, freshman year state finals. You know, I just come off a broken ankle. I feel like, dang, I broke my ankle, what, 3 or 4 years ago? It feels like it was yesterday. I was like, dang, I remember, you know, just rolling over my ankle in practice and found out it was broke. I was like, but yeah, no, it flies by. So you know, I'm just grateful, especially this year, to even have the opportunity to wrestle and be out here. So it's been fun.
100%. I know you kind of alluded to, you know, the bigger goals that, you know, maybe a state title is kind of a stepping stone to, you know, junior national title, eventually junior world team, junior worlds, things like that. What would be considered then maybe a successful senior season for you? How are you going to view success this year?
Spreading the gap, you know, nothing close. You know, I don't want a decision or, you know, I had a major tonight, but I feel like I dominated that match. Work on a little bit of top, get a couple turns here and there, and that's a tech, maybe even a pin. So, but just separating myself, and, you know, that'll be a successful season, undefeated state title, obviously. That's what I want. Nothing close. So,
right on, man. You got anything else for me?
That's about it. Thanks, Cody.
Big big thanks to Caleb for that time. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. His six straight wins, I was thinking about this too, that now makes him, by my count at least, 112-4 overall in his career. So assuming the rest of Ankeny's schedule holds this season, he's got a reasonable shot to get 150 career wins, which would be pretty impressive considering that he missed a huge chunk of time his freshman year with that ankle injury. So that'll be something to kind of monitor and kind of keep track of. But hey, I mean, he said he wanted to win every match this year by bonus. So far, so good, right? With five pins and a major in six matches. That's all I've got today, you guys. One more quick programming note before we sign off. I do have a couple more stories coming this week. One more on Coach A, just kind of a deeper look at becoming Southeast Polk's head coach. And then another on Charlotte Bailey and the still growing girls wrestling movement in Iowa, actually. Very excited for you guys to read that one. But after this, I'm going to do my best to shut my computer down and relax for the rest of the week. I actually recorded this podcast at home in Kansas City, and that's where I'm going to be until after Christmas. This year, it's taken a toll on all of us, and I know I could use a small break before we jump headfirst into the rest of wrestling season. I'm sure you guys have maybe noticed it, and if not, then I'm a much better magician at hiding some of these things than I think I give myself credit for, but I'm just tired, man. Like, I'm dragging. I feel like I just don't have a lot of energy. I just need a few days to just kind of relax and rest my head and rest my eyes and just, you know, kind of recoup a little bit before we jump back into what's, you know, kind of like I was saying earlier, a really busy second half of the wrestling season and one that's obviously going to demand a lot of attention and, you know, some of the high quality stuff that I know you guys are accustomed to consuming, whether it's the podcast, whether it's, you know, video interviews, whether it's, you know, stories that I'm hoping to get to this next year, you know, just as we continue through the rest of the season. So I'm going to take that small break. I hope you guys are able to take some time and relax a little bit too, especially after this year. It's been really weird. It's been really wild. And I know that's taken a toll on all of us. So I hope everybody has a happy holiday. I hope everybody's able to take some downtime, hang out with some family and relax a little bit before we hit the ground running come January, literally January 2nd. These big duels and these big competitions, they won't stop. So, because right after Don Bosco Southeast Polk, Iowa State kicks off their season with Wartburg, and you know, hopefully by then we'll have a schedule for the Hawkeyes and the Panthers, even though we already know a few of Northern Iowa's dates. So we're going to be able to rock and roll. So I hope everybody's able to get some rest, relax a little bit, enjoy the holiday, and we'll pick this back up in January. But like I said, that's today's show. If you've made it this far, whether this was your first episode or you've been with us from the very beginning, thank you guys so much for listening. You can catch In the Room on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Omni, and now Google Podcast, I believe. I'm trying to submit it to iHeartRadio too. If there's a podcast platform that we're not on that you use, let me know and I'll do my best to try and submit In the Room to those podcast listening services so that you guys can catch every episode on whichever one of these podcast listening platforms that you guys use. So let me know if In the Room is not on those and I will do my best to make sure that we can do that. If you liked what you heard on this episode of In the Room or in past episodes, do me a favor and hook me up with some 5 stars and some kind words in the review section. It makes me look good in front of my editors and I would greatly appreciate the gesture. Don't forget to follow your boy on Twitter at Cody Goodwin. That's CodyGoodwin. You can drop me a line if you got any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions. You can also just say, hey, what's up, hello, if you'd like. Be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register for all your updates, news, and analysis on wrestling in the state of Iowa. You can find a link to do just that, as well as stories from this past week, in the show notes. That's all I've got for this episode of In the Room. Thanks again for listening, you guys. I will catch you again next week.
Having a damn season, man.